This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. Good morning, I'm John Trout. It's Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
Columbia University cancels commencement due to ongoing protests on campus. I'm John Stolness.
Former President Donald Trump says he'll go to jail if he has to.
This judge has given me a gag order.
I'm Clayton Neville.
An American soldier has been arrested in Russia. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
Marjorie Taylor Greene to meet with Mike Johnson today. His speakership could be hanging in the balance. I'm Jeff McKay in Washington.
On Wall Street, stocks started the week with a win as investors brace for earnings this morning from Disney. I'm Jessica Ettinger.
Call it divine intervention. A gunman shoots towards a pastor giving a sermon, but the gun jams. I'm Katie Clark with details.
The go-broke dates for Medicare and Social Security have been pushed back. Ed Donahue, Washington.
All ahead on America in the Morning. Pro-Palestinian protests continue on the campus of Columbia University. School officials have made the decision to cancel their large campus-wide commencement ceremony. Correspondent John Stolness has details.
Although a tent encampment has since been dismantled by police, the school decided to cancel its larger celebration on May 15th. Critics say it's being done so University President Manoush Shafiq doesn't have to deliver a commencement address on the same location that encampment once stood. University officials say graduates will still be able to participate in smaller ceremonies around campus this week and next. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says they feel badly for graduates who are going to miss out on a, quote, incredibly important day.
A small group of people went too far and cost their classmates this important event. We've talked about it many times from here. This is a moment of joy, a moment of celebration, and we feel for them.
Columbia has already canceled in-person classes and finals. At the University of Chicago, a group of professors held a news conference yesterday showing solidarity with the protesters on that campus. Anton Ford is a University of Chicago associate professor.
We support the protesters' central demands that the university divest its endowment and that it suspend its formal cooperation with Israeli institutions.
Another professor, Allison Nadia Field, says the protesters' demands are simple.
The university must not employ police force to put an end to students' protests. To do so would violate the university's duty to protect its students, as well as their right to free expression.
At MIT, protesters knocked down fencing to a restricted access area and rushed through, linking arms around an area where about a dozen tents stood until they were taken down a few days ago. At UC San Diego, 65 were arrested as police cleared a Gaza solidarity encampment there. At UCLA, more than 40 were arrested in a parking lot for refusing to identify themselves. Officials now have shifted classes to remote learning due to demonstrators. And the fallout from an incident last week at Ole Miss when a white counter-protester appeared to make mocking monkey noises and gestures at a black pro-Palestinian protester. A fraternity says they have kicked out that student. And after posting a message on X seemingly supporting the incident on Friday, Republican Congressman Mike Collins of Georgia partially walked it back, saying he didn't believe those actions were the focal point of the video and said on X, quote, "I recognize that there certainly seems to be some potentially inappropriate behavior that none of us should seek to glorify." I'm John Stolness.
The hush money trial for former President Donald Trump resumes in New York City. Correspondent Clayton Neville reports the week began with Trump being hit with another fine from the judge.
Judge Juan Merchan cited former President Donald Trump $1,000 for violating a gag order in the case.
This judge has given me a gag order and said you'll go to jail if you violated.
Trump's already been fined $9,000 for gag order violations, and the judge had stern words for the former president. He said that it appears $1,000 fines aren't serving much as a deterrent and noted that the last thing he wants to do is put Trump in jail, but that violations have to stop. Trump, though, willing to be locked up if it comes to that.
Frankly, you know what? Our Constitution is much more important than jail. It's not even close. I'll do that sacrifice any day.
The case related to allegations that Trump falsified records to cover up alleged hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. Trump denies those claims and an affair he's said to have had with Daniels.
It's a ridiculous case. I did nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong.
He called it a fake trial.
They have no case. And it's been absolutely proven now. They have no case whatsoever. This is Alvin Bragg doing it for political reasons for Biden.
A Trump Organization employee took the stand yesterday speaking about how checks were signed within the organization and specifically the checks written to former Trump attorney Michael Cohen, who's at the center of the alleged hush money payments. The trial is still expectedly weeks away from wrapping up. In the 2 weeks of testimony so far, there have been 9 witnesses. I'm Clayton Neville.
U.S. soldier being held by Russia. When America in the Morning continues after these messages.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. Dangerous severe weather continues overnight in the nation's heartland, moving later today into the Ohio Valley. First, we'll take a look at mountain snow with LaTroy Thornton of AccuWeather.com.
A sprawling storm stretches from Southern California into parts of the South today. On the western side of the storm, enough cold air filters in to create some snow in the mountains from parts of Montana and Idaho through the Rockies, possibly as far southeast along the mountain chain as Colorado. Temperatures in the interior northwest look to stay well below the historical average for early May through at least Wednesday, with widespread 30s and 40s across the region. The rest of the Pacific Northwest can expect showers of rain and mountain snow today from western Washington across much of Oregon, with some drying for tomorrow. The Southwest should be mainly dry today, though. A significant Monday night of severe weather reports in the southern plains and portions of the Midwest on Monday gives way to threats farther to the east today, with storms possibly producing hail, strong winds, and isolated tornadoes from parts of Arkansas to western Pennsylvania and bending towards southern Wisconsin. Wind gusts of 60 to 70 miles per hour can bring down trees and power lines, and some of these same areas may have a continued risk for severe weather on Wednesday before the storm starts to exit the area, and the best chance for destructive storms moves to the south and east for Thursday. An advancing warm front brings showers and some thunderstorms to portions of the mid-Atlantic and interior northeast, affecting states from Maryland and West Virginia to the Carolinas. For areas where that front will not reach, New England and the southeast face a dry day under calm high pressure. In Chicago, look for clouds today with showers and a heavy thunderstorm, mainly early in the day, and a high of 75. Phoenix, Arizona is in for sunshine and typically warm conditions for this time of the year with a high of 92. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
Follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. I'm John Trout. U.S. officials have confirmed that an American soldier has been arrested in Russia under questionable circumstances. Details from Washington correspondent Sagar Magani.
Two U.S. officials say an American soldier has been arrested in Russia.
I can't really say much about it right now, Jonathan. I hope you can understand that. And certainly it's a better question put to our DOD colleagues, but we are aware of this case.
The officials say the soldier was stationed in South Korea and in the process of returning home to the U.S. Instead, he went to Russia, where he was accused Thursday of stealing, arrested, and remains in custody. The Army says Russia told the U.S., which in turn told the soldier's family. His arrest comes a year after another soldier, Travis King, sprinted into North Korea. He was returned to the U.S. and charged with desertion. It's unclear if the soldier in Russia now is considered AWOL. Sagar Magani at the White House.
After a nearly two-hour meeting with Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Georgia Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke to the media and said the two will continue their discussions. America in the Morning's Jeff McKay has details.
Greene has been the loudest of those threatening to force a vote to remove Johnson as House Speaker.
I voted for Mike Johnson because his voting record before he became Speaker was conservative. He voted against funding Ukraine. He was solidly pro-life. He voted to secure the border. He voted to fight against Democrats, fight against the witch hunt against President Trump. But once he became Speaker, he has become a man that none of us recognize.
Following their meeting today, if Greene were to move ahead and demand a vote to remove Johnson, it would mark the second time in less than a year that the GOP has taken the extraordinary step of demanding the Speaker's gavel from one of their own. Last October, Florida's Matt Gaetz forced a successful vote to have then-Speaker Kevin McCarthy removed, which led to weeks of a temporary Speaker and numerous votes to replace him. I'm Jeff McKay in Washington.
When we return on America in the Morning, the forgotten sector of stocks that offer security and safety. Tuesday Business is next with Jessica Ettinger. We're back after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments takes a disciplined approach with investing, helping clients navigate volatile markets. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. A new month of trading, CNBC's Jessica Ettinger is in with how markets performed.
Wall Street opens this morning after a winning start to this first full week of May trading, extending last Friday's rally. Nobody's walking away. You know the old adage, sell in May and walk away? That really doesn't apply much these days. The Dow and NASDAQ were up triple digits yesterday. Investors have some renewed hope for an interest rate cut from the Fed at some point.
We're only 2% from the old historic highs. We're over the 50-day moving average again. So there's positive momentum in the market overall.
CNBC's Bob Pisani. It's all about Disney earnings coming this morning before the opening bell.
They're on a path. They're on a path for growth.
Headed the right way.
I think so. I mean, remember, they just came out of this brutal proxy fight. Look, they spent the last year restructuring, or Bob Iger spent the last year restructuring, and now the focus is on growth.
Bank of America Securities' Jessica Reif Ehrlich with CNBC's Joe Kernan. Starbucks shares were slightly lower yesterday. Former CEO Howard Schultz posted a letter to his old company online saying the coffee chain needs to fix its U.S. operations, and he wrote how to go about doing that. Starbucks shares have been reeling from disappointing results.
The most important line in this entire thing is that senior leaders need to spend more time with those who wear the green apron. One of their first actions should be to reinvent the mobile ordering and pay platform, which Starbucks pioneered. So right there, he's saying, listen, you can't get in and out. And that apparently is what hurting some of the loyalty.
CNBC's Mad Money host Jim Cramer. Renters' hopes of being able to buy a home have fallen to a record low. The share of those who believe that's going to happen one day fell to 13.4% in the latest New York Fed survey. And on top of that, those asked say they expect rental costs to increase by nearly 10% over the next year.
Overlooked banking stocks are becoming popular again.
Yeah, you know, they're a great example right now of why average investors want to be diversified, maybe saving in a whole basket of stocks from lots of different industries, like an S&P 500 index fund. Investors who've been pouring money into just one area, like tech stocks recently, have been doing okay. But there's been kind of a surprise.
Banks have been a very strong area of this market. I think suddenly they've really outperformed recently. And on a one-year basis, they're now ahead of tech. Now, 1 year ago, we were just coming out of the Silicon Valley Bank disaster. So clearly that was a pretty depressed moment to start counting. And over 2 years, tech has trounced banks, but generally encouraging when banks are outperforming.
CNBC Markets editor Mike Santoli. On today's watch list, a biggie, earnings from Disney, as we mentioned. Plus, we get quarterly results from Lyft, Occidental Petroleum, Nintendo, Ferrari, and Apple holds a big iPad event today.
Thank you, CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. When we return on America in the Morning, would-be shooter, the subject of divine intervention, after these messages. America in the Morning, back with you now. Saying God jammed the gun, a Pennsylvania pastor's happy to be alive after an armed gunman walked up to his pulpit during a sermon and tried to open fire. Katie Clark has the story.
A gunman, 26-year-old Bernard Polite, enters the Jesus' Dwelling Place Church in a suburb of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with a gun during Pastor Glenn Germany's Sunday sermon. The man heads straight for the pastor, walking through the congregation to the front of the church, and aims the gun at his head. The pastor is seen on camera moving aside, while the deacon, who had his camera rolling, jumps towards a gunman to subdue him. He held down the gunman until police arrived. The scary scene was all caught on the deacon's camera. Clarence McAllister, the deacon, speaks to WTAE-TV in Pittsburgh.
I'm just grateful that, you know, God seen it, that nobody got hurt, especially when a guy had the gun pointed directly at his head.
Pastor Greg Germany also speaking to WTAE-TV.
I'm thankful to God that I'm still here because he definitely pulled the trigger.
Polite told police that God told him to shoot the pastor and that he wanted to go to jail so he could clear his mind. Later the same day, police got a call about a man shot dead in the home where Bernard Polite lived. The man is identified as a relative of Bernard's. Polite is being held without bail. I'm Katie Clark.
Further cuts in Social Security payments are on the horizon, but the so-called go-broke dates of major government programs get a bit of a reprieve. Here's Ed Donahue.
The annual Social Security and Medicare Trustees Report says an improving economy is in part the reason for the pushback. Medicare's go-broke date for its hospital insurance trust fund was moved back 5 years to 2036. Social Security's trust fund, which covers old age and disability recipients, will be unable to pay full benefits beginning in 2035 instead of last year's estimate of 2034. Social Security Administration Commissioner Martin O'Malley called the report a measure of good news. But Congress still needs to act in order to avoid what is now forecast to be, in absence of any action, a 17% cut to people's Social Security benefits. Ed Donahue, Washington.
America in the Morning for Tuesday, May 7th, 2024, is produced by Jeff McKay, senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour, pro-Israel university students voice safety concerns amid canceled commencement exercises.
Israel edges closer to an offensive in Rafah.
And we'll see where this goes.
Sagar Meghani at the White House.
At his hush money trial in New York, former President Donald Trump is pushing back. I'm Ed Donahue.
Tornadoes, flooding, and record snowfall. I'm Clayton Neville.
Lawsuits claim abuse at Illinois juvenile facilities, and the Starliner grounded again.
Fashion's biggest night featured both celebrities and protesters. I'm Kevin Carr.
Singer Randy Travis has released a new single with the help of artificial intelligence. I'm Archie Zaraletta with the latest.
Back after these messages. Welcome back to America in the Morning. Critical fire conditions in the desert southwest, severe weather in the nation's heartland. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton with the forecast.
Following a devastating night of severe weather in parts of the southern plains and parts of the Midwest on Monday, today is expected to bring the threat farther to the east, with hail, damaging wind gusts, and isolated tornadoes possible from northern Arkansas into western Pennsylvania through the nighttime hours and extending to the north and west into south-central Wisconsin. Localized gusts to 60 to 70 miles per hour may bring down power lines and trees in this area. Some of these same areas face another heightened risk for severe weather on Wednesday before the best chance for dangerous storms shifts to the south and east starting Thursday. Speaking of the east, Tuesday brings showers and some spotty thunderstorms to parts of the mid-Atlantic along the path of a warm front that will lift through the region, including cities such as Baltimore and Richmond. Ahead of that advancing front, New England looks dry instead under high pressure, with a separate area of high pressure sparing much of the southeast from the risk for active weather. However, much of that area will be warm today, with highs in the 80s and even some 90s from Florida and southern Georgia into Alabama. Farther to the west, steady rain can be expected at times for portions of the Dakotas and the upper Midwest as a large storm stretches into southern Canada. On the cold side of the storm, enough chilly air will pull into the area to produce snow in the high ground from western Montana and northern Idaho through the Rockies as far south as perhaps western Colorado. Much of the Pacific Northwest stays active with showers of rain and high elevation snow dotting the landscape from western Washington across much of Oregon through the day. Mainly dry Wednesday, Texas and the Southwest can expect a dry day today. That's the weather across America. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Latroy Thornton.
Clayton Neville reports on flooding and more severe weather a little later in the show. Remember, you can follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. I'm John Trout. Unrest on college campuses around the nation continues. Police arrested 64 people at the University of California, San Diego, as some demonstrators turned violent when police were ordered to the school to clear out an encampment. Students at Princeton University announced that they're beginning a hunger strike and will only drink water until their school divests from Israel. Officials at Atlanta's Emory University say they'll move the college commencement off campus due to safety concerns, while UCLA and Columbia University are canceling their main commencement ceremonies altogether. Correspondent Haya Panjwani reports that Jewish groups at college campuses are denouncing anti-Semitism displayed at anti-Israel campus protests.
At UCLA Hillel, various Jewish groups gathered for a press conference to denounce what they perceive as anti-Semitism on college campuses and UCLA in particular.
Aside from the violation of guidelines, what is also very difficult is the rhetoric that unfortunately is protected by free speech and the dangerous rhetoric that is spewed in the encampment calls for the death of all Zionists.
Jeffrey Abrams is with the Anti-Defamation League in Los Angeles.
What has been occurring and occurred in this past week did not occur in a vacuum. It was predictable, which meant it was preventable. The culture on this campus, predating October 7th, has allowed anti-Semitism to flourish.
The pro-Palestinian encampments across the country have been largely peaceful, though there have been some escalations. Those clashes have led to arrests on campuses, like at UCLA, and the cancellation of Columbia and USC's university-wide commencement ceremonies. I'm Haya Panjwani.
The latest on developments in the Middle East, an Israeli tank brigade seized control of the Gaza Strip side of the Rafah border crossing with Egypt. This after the Israeli military claimed a mortar attack killed four Israeli troops. Just hours before the offensive, the terrorist group Hamas announced they would agree to the terms of an Egypt and Qatar-mediated ceasefire deal that also involves the United States. More on that from correspondent Sagar Magani.
We are at a critical stage right now. We got a response from Hamas. Now Director Burns is working through that, trying to assess it, working with the Israelis.
Both diplomacy and military brinksmanship continue in the Middle East. Israel ordered an evacuation from parts of Rafah, signaling an imminent invasion. Soon after, Hamas abruptly announced it accepted an Egyptian and Qatari ceasefire proposal, which Israel says it's reviewing and will further discuss, but will also keep operating in Gaza at the same time.
I say to the leaders of the world, no amount of pressure, no decision by any international forum will stop Israel from defending itself. And I say to you, we will defeat our genocidal enemies. Never again is now.
After its war cabinet approved a Rafah operation, Israeli jets started strikes. That all came after White House spokesman John Kirby said President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spent a half hour on the phone.
We've been consistent, and the president was consistent again this morning, that we don't support ground operations in Rafah that would put the majority or even any of the civilians there at any greater risk. We want to see their safety and security allowed for and factored in.
The developments leave a glimmer of hope for a deal to at least pause the fighting and free Hamas hostages.
All I know is we've got a response. Bill Burns is looking at that response. He's talking to the Israelis about it, and we'll see where this goes. Hopefully, whatever's in this thing, hopefully it can lead to those hostages getting out real soon with their families.
Sagar Magani at the White House.
America in the Morning continues. Correspondent Ed Donahue has been following the trial in the case of former President Donald Trump in New York.
At his hush money trial in New York, former President Donald Trump is pushing back after the judge fined him again for violating a gag order.
It's a fake trial. They have no case. And it's been absolutely proven now. They have no case whatsoever. This is Alvin Bragg doing it for political reasons for Biden.
The fine this time was $1,000, and Judge Juan Merchan said they don't appear to be serving as a deterrent.
It is unconstitutional, and it shouldn't be allowed. And I wish people could move a little bit quicker, the appellate courts, because the whole world is watching this, and they see what's happening. More importantly, frankly, they have no case.
He brought up the possibility, as a last resort, of jail time, saying Trump's statements constitute a direct attack on the rule of law. As he was leaving court, Donald Trump said,
"Frankly, you know what? Our Constitution is much more important than jail. It's not even close. I'll do that sacrifice any day."
After the judge stopped speaking in court, Trump shook his head twice and crossed his arms.
"What's going on with this judge is a disaster. Between the gag orders and the hatred he's got for me."
Former Trump Organization controller Jeffrey McConnie testified about how the company reimbursed payments meant to suppress embarrassing stories during the 2016 campaign. I'm Ed Donahue.
When we return on America in the Morning, spring storms wreak havoc, and smartphones just got a little smarter. Chuck Palm has that in today's tech report. We're back after these messages. Back now on America in the Morning. I'm John Trout. From thunderstorms to flooding, tornadoes and hail, and even record snowfall in the western mountains, severe weather's being experienced from parts of the Midwest to the West Coast. Correspondent Clayton Neville has the latest.
Parts of Kansas were hit hard with hail yesterday as tornadoes threatened the Midwest. A twister spotted on the ground in Oklahoma just weeks after deadly tornadoes hit the state. Some schools in Oklahoma City closed early on Monday. The University of Oklahoma canceled classes in anticipation of dangerous storms, a high risk of severe weather warned across Oklahoma. And forecasters there don't take that designation lightly. Meanwhile, south into Texas, residents inundated with
record waterfall, record rise in water, flooding homes, destroying lives, and unfortunately even claiming some lives.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott called on Texans to do what they can to help after recent heavy rains and widespread flooding in the greater Houston area.
It could be friends helping friends or neighbors helping neighbors or strangers actually helping out their fellow Texans, assisting them to evacuate, assisting them down the road, assisting them with housing or food.
The impacts being felt across a good chunk of southeast Texas.
91 counties that have been impacted by this ravaging storm. 91 counties for which I have declared a state disaster.
Hundreds of water rescues were made in the Houston area, and while flooding is the threat there, severe storms are a possibility this week from Indianapolis to Tennessee, even from St. Louis to Cincinnati. Meanwhile, out west, some record snowfall. The Sierra Nevada recording 26 inches on Sunday alone. That is, the Bay Area got drenched. I'm Clayton Neville.
America in the Morning continues. A new lawsuit says that child sexual abuse at Illinois juvenile detention centers was pervasive and systemic for decades. Lisa Dwyer has that story.
The complaint details disturbing accounts from 95 men and women housed as children at nine youth centers from 1996 to 2017. The claims include gang rape, forced oral sex, beatings, and groping of children by corrections officers, sergeants, nurses, therapists, chaplains, and others. Many plaintiffs say they were threatened or rewarded to keep quiet. The Illinois lawsuit echoes similar cases in several other states. Some of those cases have gone to trial or resulted in settlements, while arrests have been infrequent. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The planned launch of a Boeing Starliner spacecraft to the International Space Station was scrubbed just 2 hours before liftoff. The planned takeoff from Cape Canaveral, which included two astronauts, was stopped due to what NASA described as concerns over an oxygen relief valve on the upper stage of the craft. The Starliner, which is mounted on an Atlas rocket, will now have to be taken back from the launch pad to a facility for assessment and repairs. It's hoped that the Boeing Starliner's first mission into space could happen sometime in the next 2 weeks if the repairs are completed. Well, shifting gears, the clock is ticking as House Republicans are planning to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt. Norman Hall reports.
Garland refuses to turn over the unredacted audio of an interview that was conducted as part of the special counsel probe into President Joe Biden's handling of classified documents. The contempt proceedings are just the latest flare-up in the increasingly tense relationship between Republicans and the Justice Department. Contempt charges would require majority support in committee and then the support of the full House before referral could be sent to the Justice Department. Should the House hold Garland in contempt, it is unlikely that the Justice Department, which Garland oversees, would prosecute him. Norman Hall, Washington.
Anyone who thought Bernie Sanders was planning to leave Congress can guess again. The 82-year-old Vermont senator says he'll run for re-election to another six-year term. Sanders has criticized President Joe Biden's handling of the war in Gaza and does not want any money sent to Israel, and at the same time says democracy is on the line, blasting the GOP nominee Donald Trump. Sanders is expected to easily win re-election. New smartphones due out next year will likely have additional battery life due to integrated AI power management. Here's Chuck Palm with that in today's Tech Report.
It has been said the new Galaxy S25 series phones due out early next year will be boasting the brand new AI power saving feature. Samsung started integrating their new Galaxy AI into their product line with the S24 and the upcoming Z6 foldable, so the improvements in AI managed battery life seem very likely. Some of the features of the battery saving system will be based upon new concepts and won't improve battery life by limiting CPU or GPU performance or by optimizing background tasks. Whatever magic lies under the hood, it claims it should be able to add as much as 10% more battery usage. Whatever the future holds, you can be certain that there will be more AI optimization and speed enhancements. Bitcoin trading at $63,500 today on the news that Robinhood will fall under SEC investigation, but Ethereum is down 2 points at $3,081. Leave a comment at allthetoptech.tech. I'm Chuck Palm.
John Stolness is in with a check of Tuesday Sports.
We could say this about the New York Knicks. They are not boring. Fresh off a scintillating series against the 76ers, they kicked things off in their Eastern Conference semifinals against the Indiana Pacers last night. And Jalen Brunson's insane start to the postseason continuing with a 43-point performance, becoming the fourth player in NBA history to have four straight 40-point playoff games.
Guarding Brunson here. Brunson shifty, looking for contact. Brunson got it.
Sound there, courtesy of TNT. The Knicks beat the Pacers 121-117 to take a quick 1-0 lead in that Eastern Conference semifinal matchup. Spurs center Victor Wembanyama came into the league from France with much fanfare this offseason, and he lived up to the hype, named NBA Rookie of the Year after a season in which he averaged 21.4 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, nearly 4 assists, 3.6 blocks, and 1.2 steals per game. He was the unanimous winner. On the diamond, Padres starter Yu Darvish looked right at home in his former stomping grounds, Wrigley Field, tossing 5 shutout innings in his second start since coming off the injured list in San Diego's 6-3 win over the Cubs. Zach Wheeler and Bryce Harper powered the Phillies to a 5-1 win over the Giants, completing a 4-game sweep. And at 25-11, they have the best record in baseball and are off to the second best start in franchise history. And that's your look at sports.
When we return on America in the Morning, move over, fiddle and steel guitar, country music has an AI-generated song after these messages. Welcome back here with America in the Morning. The annual Met Gala took place in New York City, complete with fashion and controversy. Kevin Carr reports.
Fashion's biggest night brought out the stars and quite a few protesters.
Strike a pose.
Last night, the 2024 Met Gala was held at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. This year's theme was the Garden of Time and raised funds for the museum's Arts Costume Institute. Andrew Bolton, the curator in charge, explains how the theme was inspired by the Institute's new exhibit, Sleeping Beauties, Reawakening Fashion.
Sleeping Beauties is a collection-based exhibition, so it's focusing on our permanent collection. And the idea is to reawaken garments in our collection through the senses.
While the Garden of Time references a 1962 dystopian story by J.G. Ballard, designers gave it more flourish. Roses were a key symbol in the story, but all sorts of flowers inspired the outfits worn by celebrities like Jennifer Lopez, Zendaya, Rebecca Hall, Usher, and Demi Moore. Designer Harris Reed explained his approach to Moore's dress.
The whole piece is made out of vintage archival wallpaper, and we
repurposed it.
It's all 11,000 hours of silk embroidery, and then we've literally repurposed it into this Victorian idea of basically her blooming on the carpet.
As star-studded as the event was, it was not free from controversy. A large group of pro-Palestinian protesters took to the streets near the event. Hundreds of protesters marched through Central Park to get to the museum, but a large presence of police officers countered them. With some arrests made, authorities succeeded in blocking their access to the event. I'm Kevin Carr.
Country music legend Randy Travis may no longer be able to sing, but that's not stopping him from releasing a new single. Correspondent Margie Zaraletta reports the new song was generated by artificial intelligence.
A lot of fuss has been made about artificial intelligence creating fake songs by artists like Drake or Cher. But what if it was used with permission to give a voice to someone who lost it?
She had eyes like diamonds, and they caught the light of a day.
That's Randy Travis's new single, Where That Came From. Travis's stroke in 2013 left him with limited speech and unable to sing. The song was created with AI from vocals spanning Travis's career with the help of his longtime producer Kyle Lenning and a demo vocal from singer James Dupree. Travis's wife Mary says he went through every emotion there was in the 3 minutes of hearing his voice again. She says more songs are likely, but they want to see where this goes first. I'm Archie Zaraletta.
That's our show for today. America in the Morning for Tuesday, May 7th, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.